You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Ben Standing here for, I guess we'll call this a pop-up edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. I'm coming to you right now from the court side of the Thomas and Mack Center. Another summer league game going on right now. Earlier, the Wizards were here, and John Wall was here. Got a chance to talk to him. You'll hear that interview here in just a moment. Pretty much me asking him a bunch of questions. Other reporters are around, but you'll hear me asking him about his thoughts on Otto Porter and in relation to those comments he made about recruiting Paul George in a way. People kind of took those comments a certain way, possibly dinging Otto Porter. I'll also ask John about his thoughts on his contract extension and kind of why he's taking the approach he's taking of kind of hanging out. He explains that, and also his thoughts on the team, their moves they made in the offseason as a whole, and where Wizards stand in the Eastern Conference. So all that in just a moment. In addition to that, I spoke one-on-one with ESPN NBA analyst Amin Alhassan, a whole bunch of Wizards talk there, John Wall, Otto Porter, and what he thinks of the Wizards front office ability to make another move for this team. Of course, if you want to hear all of our podcasts, this is the third one I've recorded since being in Las Vegas. You can find them all on iTunes or anywhere you do your podcasting. We'll get into it right now. Here's my audio on John Wall, what he had to say about his situation, and then I'll be back for more with ESPN's Amin Alhassan.
John, let's start with you. I've seen all the workout videos. Looks like you're, you know, doing your thing already. How you feeling? What are you kind of been working on?
Right now, just staying in shape. This is my first day getting back on the court today. After this game, I'm going to get on the court. Other than that, I've just been working out, trying to stay out of the way and get in the best shape possible.
You're watching the kids out here. What do you see they like?
Oh, it's a lot of talented kids. You know what I mean? Especially rookie class, a lot of guards coming in, very talented. It's a lot of fun. I can't wait to play against them and see them just improve and get better like I did every year.
You guys have obviously made some moves. Tim Frazier's right here. You got Jody Meeks, Mike Scott, Otto's got a new deal. What do you kind of thought so far about the offseason?
It's cool. You know what I mean? Added pieces, you know, having Otto back, having our main core back is a big key. Added pieces to try to make our bench better and a little deeper. That's a big part of us.
With regards to Otto, when you the Paul George recruiting stuff, people took some of what you said about Otto's potentially sort of a knock. Is there anything to that, or
just like what they take as a knock?
Yeah, I guess the idea of saying that Paul George, you wanted him and they play in the same position, that type of
it's
thing.
It's the same. There's nothing wrong about it because you understand. I know Otto means my team, what he does for them year. But in the day, as any team, if you can improve a position, I mean, Otto's going to be a great player for us, a great role player for a lot of teams. It's a difference from a role player to a superstar. It's a big difference. And it's a lot of teams that make a lot of trades for a superstar for another piece. Look at Kevin Love getting traded for Andrew Wiggins. You never know what a player's going to turn out to be. It's what people are going to say about it. I know what I love in Otto as a teammate. But in the day, if you can make a team better, you always do that. And if people take it the wrong way, then so be it.
Your contract extension, obviously, it was given to you. Big smile. What were your thoughts on that right now?
I'm just chilling. Just trying to figure out like how to negotiate it, manipulate it the way you want it to be. Like if things go the right way, everybody know I want to play where I want to be, and everybody took it the wrong way of me saying I wanted to wait. It's a big decision. I mean, I know I love D.C. I love playing with them. Every time I step on the court, whatever I do it for the city of D.C. I do so much in the community. If it wasn't for the love of that, I wouldn't do it. Just about sitting back and waiting and weighing my options, knowing where I want to be for another 8 to 10 years based on my whole career. So that's all I'm doing.
What do you think? Days, weeks, months?
Nobody didn't know. You'll read about it when I do it. I'll definitely let y'all know.
I want to write about it.
Yeah, you'll write about it. You have a big story right about it.
What is your what's your general take been on the last couple of weeks in terms of how everything's played out with guys moving around?
It's been great. It's been very interesting. You know, the Western Conference got a lot deeper, and the NBA is going to be exciting.
Do you see opening for you guys in the East with kind of the way things shook out? You guys
still got LeBron
there
to go through.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we got to get better and get better. Try to be a deeper team. Still got the Celtics to get Duke. That's the team we lost to. I feel like those are two teams that we got to beat now.
Thanks, John.
All right. A lot of interesting stuff there from John Wall. I also wrote about this, I meant to say earlier, on for FanRag Sports. You can check that out. More to discuss here. I'll do it in a time when I'm not in a crowded arena. But anyway, here is the conversation I recorded just down a few steps away from where I'm sitting now with Aminel Hassan. I think maybe one of the best NBA analysts out there. Does a great job on TV, especially on The Jump, a show that I talk about a lot. And get into it right now. Here is Aminel Hassan, ESPN Insider, his thoughts on the Wizards offseason. All right, we're here with the Hate Heart King. Is that the official title? Aminel Hassan, really appreciate it, man. I legitimately love the way you come at it. The Jump has turned into my my favorite show, so I'm always happy when you guys are when you're on there. I'll ask you about the Wizards in a quick second, but you're here watching the whole NBA Summer League. What's the one thing that you find most interesting so far, whatever that may be in your head?
Ooh, I think the most interesting thing is just how big it's gotten, and I feel like we say it every year, but I can't imagine it being any bigger than what it is, and somehow I have a feeling that next year it'll be bigger than what it is, and it's just testament to the hard work that Albert Hall and Warren Legarry and all the people who worked to put this event together and built it from scratch. They've done a tremendous job, and you know, it helps when every team is out here. You know, the cool thing about Summer League for people who've never been is you might think, oh, well, it's just a bunch of rookies and guys trying to make a team somewhere. And it is that, but you know, just today, walking around in the last 2 hours, I've seen John Wall, I've seen DeMarcus Cousins, I've seen Devin Booker, I've seen Ben Simmons, I've seen Anthony Davis, I've seen Stephon Marbury. These people are just walking around. Very accessible. So it's a cool thing, I think, that for the NBA fans, particularly knowing how expensive an NBA ticket is to go to a real game, it's $25-$30 gets you in to all the games of the day, and pretty much your seat is as good as you can. Basically, it's first come, first serve. So if you want to get one row off the court, you get here early enough, you can get that. And so that's just the cool thing about Summer League. I always marvel about every year.
Yeah, no, I was talking to Brendan Haywood a couple days ago when the Lakers-Celtics game was going on. Oh, yeah. And I was saying, Brendan, let's be realistic. I was there for some of your Wizards games, but Anthony Davis is right behind us and talking to your point about I was telling Brendan, the atmosphere at this Lakers-Celtics game was better than some of those Wizards games, right. And that's just to show you how much growth this thing has had. You mentioned John Wall. Imagine he was here, obviously, we just talked to him a little bit ago. He said, yeah, he's just taking his time with this contract. He's being patient because, you know, it's a big decision. As a former front office guy, what's your read on his decision to wait and kind of where the Wizards are at?
I think John is in a position that not too many players get to be, where you have leverage, if you want to call it power. It's power over your organization and the power to hold them accountable for making the team as good as possible. And not signing an extension doesn't mean I'm out of here, but it does mean I'm watching and I'm evaluating. You're on the clock. You're being evaluated at all times. And so, like I said, there are a lot of players that don't have that power. LeBron obviously has that power in Cleveland. You could say Steph Curry definitely has that power in Golden State. James Harden in Houston. But I'm trying to think of some other star players we have, like Isaiah Thomas. Third in MVP voting. He doesn't have that power in Boston.
So Paul George obviously just has
Paul
some of that
George,
power.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing now. Does that start a trend? Does John Wall, are the Wizards going to get Paul George or Pacers, I guess, next year if John Wall decides, hey, I don't want to, I'm going to wait. And now they're a year out. He's got 1 year left like George did.
The other part about that is having a pulse for your guy, right? You know what your guy is leaning to doing. Especially when you have a relationship with John like you've had through the years. They supported him when he was hurt, you know, and all that. Rich Paul, you know, he's a very straightforward guy. They'll know if the deal is up, or the jig is up, so to speak. And so then you know you make the deal. The
extreme version of that is what Utah did, I guess it was 7 years ago now, or maybe five years ago, when they traded Darren Williams. Darren Williams never actually said, I want to go, but they had a feel that he wasn't all the way sold. He wasn't all the way bought in. And they said, we're not going to risk it. We're going to get the best possible deal. And they got a tremendous deal for him. But again, that's the kind of thing that, good front offices, well-prepared front offices that are connected to their locker rooms, they know, you get a feel. And then if you feel that way, you pull that trigger. But again, I think a lot of this has more to do with, okay, what are you guys going to do? You know, Boston obviously got a lot better. What are we going to do? Right? Milwaukee's getting better just because every day. What are we going to do to keep up with this arms race? Because the other thing in the Eastern Conference that's very interesting right now is LeBron is a question mark in Cleveland. And so if LeBron leaves Cleveland, particularly if he comes west, goes to L.A., then you get this massive power void. The Eastern Conference, it's up for grabs.
Right.
And so if I'm the Wizards, I'm John Wall, we need to be ready for that day. And what are we doing to take steps for being able to take advantage of that situation?
So what they did do is they kept Otto Porter for 4 years, $106 million, and then added some guys to their bench, Tim Frazier, Jody Meeks, Mike Scott. As the hate hard guy, you hate any of that? You like any of that? What's your feeling on those moves?
Jody Meeks was a value deal because, you know, he's a vet, he's a shooter, and to pay was like $7 million.
Yeah, 2 years.
I mean, that's an incredible value deal. Otto's a weird case because on the one hand, you got a guy who was one of the elite 3-point shooters in the NBA last year. He wasn't one, he was like two or three.
Yeah.
And elite defensive players, being able to guard multiple positions. And when you think about the dynamic of your team between Wall and Beal, you need guys who can be potent offensively without having the ball in their hands. Porter does that. Porter gives them great versatility. So there are a lot of reasons why he's very valuable, even though he averaged 13 points a game or whatever it is. Not to make lofty comparisons, but in the same way that Draymond Green can average 12 points a game or whatever it is, but he's incredibly valuable to Golden State and what they're able to do. Unfortunately, guys like Otto Porter are kind of rare, and so you're not paying for him when you say, well, I'm paying for Max, because not because he's a franchise player, you're paying for his rarity. The idea that this is an important position, an important role, and there aren't too many guys who do it that well. We knew pretty early in the year, probably around January, he was going to get a max deal. Like, no questions asked. So if you're Washington, you know he's going to get max. And you know if you don't pay him, you lose him. Hey, Bob, you lose him, and there's no way to replace him, right? You don't have the wherewithal to go, oh, we'll go out and get a reasonable facsimile. That doesn't exist. So you kind of bite the bullet and you do that. The good news for the Wizards is they have other deals that are, I think, kind of movable. Look at a guy like Markieff Morris, whose contract is very, very affordable. He's a productive player. You look at a guy like Marcin Gortat, same thing. Good pick and roll player, great rebounder, pretty affordable deal. If push comes to shove, you can do deals to create more flexibility. Last thing I'll say about that is I think we've seen teams here find ways to make their teams better, even though they're not necessarily completely financially solvent. So look at Houston. A month ago, I told you, yo, Houston's going to trade for Chris Paul, and they're not going to give up James Harden. We're like, come on. They don't have anything. What else can they give up? But they had the creativity to find a way to get that done. That's what kind of Washington needs to do. Just because you've got salaries committed, doesn't mean, well, our work here is done, there's nothing much more we can do. You have to constantly strive to find ways to improve your team.
Well, let me ask you this, and I know you got to go watch some basketball. You just mentioned that sort of front office creativity. Do the Wizards have that in their bag? I mean, they haven't been I remember like early in the decade they had the Kurt Heinrich deal where they got a first for acquiring him, and they got a first for trading him. But ever since then, it's been sort of the standard. We trade the first round pick for the veteran, and some of that's worked out. But last offseason is looking worse by the minute. Do they have that sort of in their bag to be creative?
I think I would say yes, but also say if that speaks to shifting priorities, right? Earlier they were able to do that kind of stuff because it's a team trying to find its way. Now the expectations have risen. Oh, this is a team that should have been in the conference finals, a lot of people felt. You know, if you look at that series with the Celtics, after four games, in three of those four games, they were blowing out the Celtics. But it has ended up being 2-2 because they blew two leads. And then obviously there's that one where they were never in it to begin with. So with the rising expectations, kind of comes the time for trading vets for a couple of first round picks. You know, it's like we're past that. We're trying to make these moves now. So the Markieff Morris deal a year ago was like a huge gamble. Like, we got to make the playoffs. We'll give up a first round pick for the right to do it. Didn't work. But that all speaks to we're trying to take that next step. And I think around the league, you look out, I mean, the Golden State Warriors, when they got Andre Iguodala, they gave up two first-round picks to Utah for the right to take off all that salary, Biedrins and Brandon Rush and all those guys. So you kind of, that's the cost of business at some point, and you just hope that your gambles pay off.
Somebody's trying to talk me to go see Mariah Carey while I'm here. What's your take on that?
My voice sounds better than Mariah Carey's right now.
I mean, man, I really appreciate it, man. I love the stuff. I'll look forward to hearing more. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Many, many thanks to Amin El-Hassan, of course, on Twitter, at AminESPN. Lots of interesting takes. I want to mention one of them in just a quick second. But first, I've been mentioning, trying to mention more and more about some of the other podcasts on the Locked On Sports Network. And, of course, you can just follow, for all your NBA topics, just follow the Locked On Network. Obviously, you're here listening to me talk about the Wizards. We've had guys on who cover the Celtics, the Raptors, whatever team's out there. There's a lot of interesting moves being made out there. I just saw Paul Millsap walk past me in the Cox Pavilion. So obviously, you can check out the Locked On Nuggets podcast as well. Lots of interesting stuff. Be sure to check it out, along, of course, with the Locked On Wizards.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
All right, so the one thing I guess I thought that was interesting right there at the end, Amin had a lot to say about the John Wall situation, knowing you got to know your guy. But right there at the end, he made that example about Golden State giving up a lot for another team to take on the assets so Golden State would pick up, so they could get Andre Iguodala, fit him under the cap. It's going to be interesting to see what the Wizards have to do. I know a lot of people were, you know, upset from the perspective about Otto Porter, even though letting Otto Porter go would not have opened up any cap space. The thing I think to look for in the future, I'm not saying the future is today, tomorrow, or even this season, is probably something to do with the centers. Do the Wizards have sort of another Andrew Nicholson type trade in them? Enough, you trade a Mahimi elsewhere, but attach some other things with it, some picks, some young players, whatever that may be. I was having some talk with some different people about, you know, the idea of what the Wizards can do with Mahimi in particular. I'm not sure it makes the most sense to do anything now. I mean, look, if somebody's out there willing to make a deal, you consider all options. But the Wizards, I think, kind of need Jan Mahimi for the season based on the reality of the team. It's been a bad fit. It's never really made a lot of sense. Again, we've talked about this before, why the Wizards got Mahimi when you have Gortat and you can't play the two of them together. But at the end of the day, they got to clear up some of that salary. I've been told by a good source that I don't think Marcin Gortat's getting traded this year. He's expected back with the team. So, but next year, if you know, look for next offseason? Do the Wizards have to make one of those types of deals the way Golden State did with Iguodala, where you attach things to a salary, like a Mahimi perhaps, open up space? I'm not even going to mention the name of a player who would be the interesting player you all are probably thinking about that right now in your head. I'm not going to further that cause, which isn't to say it wouldn't be an interesting cause, just saying, see where we are in a year. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't make a move now for the hypothetical that maybe somebody will show up next year. We've seen how that works for the Wizards. It's not ideal. All right. I didn't talk anything about the Summer League game here. If I can, I'm going to get Adam Rubin later, who was watching the game in peace, for his take on it. And if something else, we'll be back. This is the Wizards play again today against the Chicago Bulls. That would be a more interesting game, frankly, in terms of some games. The Bulls have Chris Dunn, Lauren Markkanen, some other guys. That could be an interesting game. So we'll end it there. Busy day here in Wizards land. Thanks to John Wall for his time. Thanks to Amin Al-Hassan. Thanks to you guys, as always, for listening. Check out all the podcasts on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting. And until next time, see ya.
Neal gets open for three. Dagger!
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway's Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4x gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.